fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Revolution. Radio!
Are you coming to the train, led by a man who wants to break the chains? Establishment is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out for a wall built by crane? Media is terrified, they can't control his reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train, where brave men called out the fools who lead in vain? Lobbyists are terrified, they can't control our reign. Let's meet this year on the Trump train. Are you coming to the train? Wear a hat of hope, side by side with me. Make America great again, break the chains. Let's meet this year on the Trump train.
And we are going to be respected by the world again and not laughed at like we're all a bunch of stupid people being led by incompetent politicians. It's not going to go on any longer.
Are you coming to the train to take our great country back again? Join the revolution, break the chains. Let's meet this year on a Trump train.
We're going to win at the borders. We're going to win, and we're going to keep winning. And we are going to make America great again, greater than ever before.
March 31st, 2024. Happy Easter, everybody. We all know he has risen and he's here with us. You are listening to the Master Survivor Beyond PhD on Revolution Radio, the best radio network on the internet. And this is Dr. Johnny keeping the truth alive, and I ask you to please be generous with your contribution to this network at freedomslips.org. Dr. Johnny gives every month through the Patreon account that I started, and you can set one up too. Just set one up and automatically donate $5 or more per month. It's so easy. So get a Patreon account today right on freedomslips.org and keep Dr. Johnny on the air. And if you don't donate to Revolution Radio, please give a generous donation to Dr. Johnny. All the hosts do not get paid, and we've really been working hard to bring you the truth and the news you can use so you can have a better life for your family. You are now connected to the Master Survivor Beyond PhD Command Center, where Dr. Johnny with a bald eagle eye is keeping a vigilant watch on Washington, D.C., our country, and our solar system. That's right. You are now listening to the Master Survivor, bringing you hope, health, and happiness but most important of all, the truth about our world and providing the tools to help you survive and thrive. I am your host, Johnny Delirious, laboratory naturopathic doctor, best-selling author, master survivor, and virus recovery expert. So happy Easter, everyone. But, you know, Dr. Johnny's saying that that may offend many people in our country today when just saying happy Easter. And Joe Biden says today is now Transgender Awareness Day, a new holiday to take the place of Easter. I kid you not, I can't make this stuff up. He's replacing Easter with Transgender Awareness Day, and he's not backing down. He's saying that's the way it is, and he's made it a national holiday. The Biden administration's decision to honor Transgender Awareness Day on Easter Sunday has caused widespread controversy. However, many Americans may be unaware that there are more than 50 LGBTQ, you know, IA 25 plus, I can't even, themed holidays. It gets so complicated because, you know, they got all these woke institutions, you know, poisoning our kids, you know, with the poison ivy leagues. That's what they do. They sit around and think up. So they've come up, I'm serious, with over 100 different holidays, and then 50 LGBTQIA2S plus theme holidays during the year that are part of the new national scope and landscape of things. So Transgender Day of Visibility is already on the calendar before this week. Here are some other recognized, I can't even go through all 50 of them, but just January alone, January 16th through 22nd is No Name Calling Week. January 27th is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. February 7th is National Black HIV AIDS Awareness Day. Week of after Valentine's Day is Aromatic Spectrum Awareness Day. That's where you know, enjoy all the wonderful smells. And February 28th is HIV is Not a Crime Awareness Day. And then March, you know, I can't even get into all this. I'll just name some of them. March is now Bisexual Health Awareness Month. The week varies in March of National LGBTQ Health Awareness Week. And then March 1st is Zero Discrimination Day. March 10th is National Women and Girls HIV AIDS Awareness Day. I mean, April is like International, April 6th, International Asexual Day. And third, you know, Friday is April Day of Silence. And then April 18th is Transgender HIV Testing Day. I mean, April 18th is also the Non-Barren Binary Parents Day. April 26th is Lesbian Visibility Day. I mean, I'm sorry. I know you don't want – I'm sure that some people want to hear them all, but I'm not going to go through all of them. You know, like May 22nd is Harvey Milk Day. What's that mean? Come on, folks. This is real. Then we got June is LGBTQ Pride Month, of course, and all the pride stuff going on. You know, National HIV Testing Day is June 27th, and then June 20th is Queer Youth of Faith Day. I can't. And then July 6th is Omnisexual Visibility Day. July 16th is International Drag Day. So they're going to start celebrating all these days all year round and just come out in full force. You know, August 14th is Gay Uncles Day. And then August 20th is Southern HIV AIDS Awareness Day. I can't make this stuff up. They've got a whole new calendar plan for our country. And I can't, you know, like October 8th is International Lesbian Day. And then Thursday, October is Spirit Day. Now, what's that? Spirit Day. Okay, are they going to do satanic rituals or something on that day? I don't, folks, I'm telling you, it's bad. October 26th is Intersexual Awareness Day. And then November is Trans Awareness Month. And then, like, November 13th to November 19th is Transgender Awareness Week. And then November 20th is Transgender Day of Remembrance after some transgender that got killed and whatever. Folks, I'm telling you. I'll just go one or two more in December because this one really got me. December 1st is World AIDS Day. And then December 14th is HIV Cure Research Day, and they're going to celebrate Fauci's achievement. Well, Fauci brought us AIDS. He invented it in the lab. Let's get real, folks. But he also brought the vaccine for AIDS, okay, for HIV. So they made December 14th a celebration of Anthony Fauci as HIV Cure Research Day. Wow. With all the distractions going on, you know, the bombings, this whole LGBTQ thing that they're pushing on us that don't even want it, the shootings, the wars, all these are distractions, and some people are just today forgetting about the most important points. And right now, I'm going to cover in detail, probably in particular, the most important point that we should never forget about. And that's in election integrity. Now, here is a review from General McInerney where he describes how Democrats plan to steal the 2024 election. And I'll go into great detail because he brings it from many different sources. And I'll cite some of the sources as I go because they're all credible, okay? This is what's happening right now. I'm not making up any of this stuff. None of this is hearsay. This is all fact. Most of it's based from military research and cyber command. But Biden and Trump have clinched the nomination of their parties for president. Biden for the Democratic Party and Trump for the Republican Party. Everybody's gearing up for a battle between President Trump and Joe Biden, again, for the election in November that's coming up. It's obvious that Biden is cognitively impaired. In blunter language, brain dead, because most days he can't even walk or talk. But if he's had his shot of adrenochrome, boy, he's on top of things, just like he was at Radio City Music Hall this past Friday in New York City. So he was just as hot as he was on the State of the Union address. But if this is a battle, you know, what if this battle's a whole sham? What if Biden's elite gang of neocon controllers and Trump's enemies won't let Biden lose? I'm telling you, many people in the military think that Biden could get away with it again. How can they stop him from losing? Simple. It looks like he's losing. You know, with all the polls, the elite forces will create enough fake ballots to ensure victory. Our corrupt courts won't stop them either. They have done this before, and they'll do it again if they have to. I mean, if they need to, they'll just import more Democratic voters. You know, like Pier 1 imports, well, they'll just import voters, which they're doing, and they're flying them in to the swing states. So I've said that Democrats have done this before. Now, the great Dr. Ron Paul explains one way they did this in 2020. The elite covered up a scandal that could have wrecked Biden's chances. Moreover, move over Watergate because on or around October 17th, 2020, then senior Biden campaign official Anthony Blinken called up a former acting CIA director Mike Morrell to ask for a favor. He needed high-ranking former U.S. intelligence community officials to lie to the American people to save Biden's lagging campaign from a massive brewing scandal. L-I-E, lie. So the problem was that Joe Biden's son, Hunter, had abandoned his laptop in a repair shop, and the explosive contents of the computer were leaking out, the details of which the Biden's family apparent corruption and debunkery of the former vice president's son and the former vice president's son were being reported by the New York Post. And with the election less than one month away, the Biden campaign needed to kill the story. So, according to newly released transcripts of Morrell's testimony before the House Judiciary Committee, Blinken triggered Morrell to put together a letter for some 50 senior intelligence officials to sign, using their high-level government titles to claim that the laptop story, quote, had all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign, end quote. In short, at the Biden's campaign direction, Morrell launched a covert operation against the American people to undermine the integrity of the 2020 election. A letter signed by dozens of the highest-ranking former CIA, DIA, which is Defense Intelligence Agency, and NSA, which is National Security Agency, officials would surely carry enough weight to bury the Hunter Biden laptop story. And it worked. Social media outlets prevented any reporting on the laptop from being posted, and the mainstream media could easily ignore the story as it was merely Russian propaganda. Asked recently by Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, Republican of Ohio, why he agreed to draft the false sign-on letter, Morrell testified that he wanted to help Vice President Biden because I wanted him to win the election. Morrell also likely expected to be named by President Biden to head up the CIA when it came time to call in favors. The Democrats and the mainstream media have relentlessly pushed the lie that the ruckus inside the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021 was a move by President Trump to overthrow election results. Hundreds of trespassers were arrested and held in solitary confinement without trial to bolster the false narrative that a conspiracy to steal the election was taking place. It turns out that there really was a conspiracy to steal the election, but it was opposite of what was reported. Just as the Steele dossier was a Democratic Party covert action to plant the lie that Russians were pulling strings for Donald Trump, the Russian disinformation campaign letter was a lie to deflect scrutiny of the Biden family's possible corruption in the final days of the campaign. Did the Biden campaign's disinformation campaign help rig the election in his favor? You bet. Polls suggest that Biden would not have been elected had the American electorate been informed about what was on Hunter Biden's laptop. So, yes, they cheated on the election just in that instance, but in many other instances as well. And I'll go on. The Democrats and the mainstream media are still at it. However, now they are trying to kill the story of how they killed the story of Biden's laptop. Well, once you make a lie, you have to make 5 or 8 or 10 other lies to cover up the first lie. And that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to kill the story of how they killed the story of the Biden laptop. This is a scandal that would once upon a time have ended in resignation, impeachment, or plenty of jail time. If they successfully bury the story, I hate to say, but there is no more rule of law in what has become the American Banana Republic. All the courts, as you know, are going one way, and that's the only way they're going to go, and that's the Democratic way. By the main way the election can be rigged is, the main way that can be rigged is by fraudulent voting. It's much easier to do this with digital scanning of votes than the old-fashioned ballot boxes. Dr. Naomi Wolf explains how electronic voting machines make it easier to steal elections. And I quote, Dr. Wolf said, she said, quote, people can steal elections in this analog technology of paper and lock ballot boxes, of course, by destroying or hiding the votes or by bribing voters in a Lautamini Hall or by other forms of wrongdoing. So security and chain of custody as well as anti-corruption scrutiny were always needed in guaranteeing accurate election counts. But there was no reason with analog physical processing of votes to query the traditional tradition of a secret ballot. Before digital scanning of votes, you could not hack a wooden ballot box. You could not set an algorithm to misread a pile of paper ballots. So in the end of the day, one way or another, you're counting physical documents. Those days are gone, obviously, and many districts there and around the country use digital systems reading ballots. They did in my voting precinct here in my little town of Milford. We scan in the ballot to the digital reading system. This is the first time the left has stolen an election. It happened in 2020 presidential election too. Ron Ernst offered his unusual cogent analysis. He's an expert at computer software and other things. And I quote, there does seem to be considerable circumstantial evidence of widespread ballot fraud by Democratic Party forces, hardly surprising given the apocalyptic manner in which so many of their leaders had characterized the threat of a Trump reelection. After all, if they sincerely believe that a Trump victory would be catastrophic for America, why would they not use every possible means, fair and foul alike, to save our country from a dire fate? In particular, several of the major swing states contain large cities like Detroit, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, and Atlanta that are both totally controlled by the Democratic Party and also notoriously corrupt, and various eyewitnesses have suggested that the huge anti-Trump margins they provided may have been heavily padded to ensure the candidate's defeat. In a program aired right before Biden's pitiful State of the Union speech, the great Tucker Carlson pointed out that Biden's Justice Department has already confessed that it has plans to rig the election. It will do this by banning your voter ID laws as racist. This permits an unlimited number of fake votes. Let me explain. Quote, if Joe Biden is so good at politics, why is he losing to Donald Trump in all the polls, who the rest of us were assured was a retarded racist who no normal person would vote for? But now Joe Biden is getting stomped by Donald Trump in all the polls, but he's also at the same time good at politics, right? No, I don't think Joe Biden is really good at politics. Again, if they can't win, they're not giving up. They're going to cheat. So what does this tell you? Well, they're going to steal the election. We know they're going to steal the election because they're now saying it out loud. The Justice Department has already said that the election will be rigged. Here's the Attorney General of the United States, the chief law enforcement officer of this country in Selma, Alabama, when he made a speech just the other day. Now we heard Tucker Carlson quotes the Attorney General, Merrick Garland. And I quote from Merrick Garland, he said, "The right to vote is still under attack, and that is why the Justice Department is fighting back," said Merrick Garland. "That is why one of the first things I did when I came into office was to double the size of the voting section of the Civil Rights Division. This is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements. This is why we're working to block the adoption of discriminatory redistricting plans that dilute the vote of the black voters and other voters of color." Now Tucker Carlson comments on what Garland said, and I quote, he said, "Did you catch that?" Tucker Carlson said, "Of course you're racist. That's always the takeaway. But consider the details of what the Attorney General of the United States just said. Mail-in balloting, drop boxes, voter ID requirements. The chief law enforcement officer of the United States is telling you that it's immoral, in fact racist, in fact illegal to ask people for their IDs when they vote to verify they are who they say they are." What is that? Well, no one ever talks about this, but the justification for this is that somehow people of color, black people, don't have state-issued IDs. Somehow they're living in a country where you can virtually, do virtually nothing without proving your identity with a government-issued ID. Without government-issued ID, you can't do anything without a government-issued ID. And he wants to make IDs illegal for voting. They can't fly on planes. They can't check in, open checking accounts if you don't have an ID. They can't have an interaction with government, state, or local or federal officials without an ID. You can't stay in hotels without an ID. You can't have credit cards without an ID, because someone without a state-issued ID can't do any of those things. Why should voting all of a sudden not be ID required? So what's interesting is that these same people, very much including the Attorney General and the administration he serves, is working to eliminate cash, to make this a cashless society. Have you been to a stadium event lately and gone and watched a ball game? No cash accepted. You have to have proper credit card and many times an ID. In order to get a credit card, you need to have a state-issued ID. And somehow that's not racist, he says. But it's racist to ask people to prove their identity if they choose to vote for the next president of the United States. That doesn't make any sense at all. That's a big lie, says Tucker Carlson. It's an easily provable lie. And anyone telling you that lie is advocating for mass voter fraud, which Attorney General obviously is, there's no other way to read it. So, you should know that. You live in a country where the Attorney General abetting and, in fact, calling for voter fraud, and that's the only chance they have to get their guy reelected. Because absentee ballots the voting can be spread out over a long period of time. This makes voting fraud much easier. Molly Hemingway has done a lot of research on this topic, and I quote Molly, and she says, in the 2020 presidential election, for the first time ever, partisan groups were allowed on a widespread basis to cross the bright red line separating government officials who administer elections from political operatives who work to win them. This is important to understand how this happened in order to prevent it in the future. Months after the election, after 2020 election, Time magazine published a triumphant story of how the election was won by a well-funded cabal of powerful people ranging across industries and ideologies working together behind the scenes to influence perceptions, change rules and laws, steer media coverage, and control the flow of information, said Time magazine. Written by Molly Ball, a journalist who, with close ties to Democratic leaders, it told a cheerful story of, quote, conspiracy unfolding behind the scenes, unquote, and, she continues, quote, result of an informal allegiance or alliance between left-wing activists and business titans, end quote. The major part of this conspiracy to save the 2020 election was to use COVID as a pretext to maximize absentee and early voting. This effort was enormously successful. Nearly half the voters ended up voting by mail, and another quarter voted early. It was, Ball wrote, quote, practically a revolution in how people vote, end quote. Another major part was to raise an army of progressive activists to administer the election at the ground level. Here, one billionaire in particular took a leading role, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg's help to Democrats is well known. When it comes to censoring their political opponents in the name of preventing misinformation, less well known is the fact that he directly funded liberal groups running partisan get-out-to-vote operations. In fact, he helped those groups infiltrate election offices in key swing states by doling out large grants of funds to crucial districts. The Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, that's what it's called, Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, an organization led by Zuckerberg's wife, Priscilla, gave more than $400 million to nonprofit groups involved in securing the 2020 election. Most of those funds, colloquially called Zuckerbucks, were funneled through the Center for Tech and Civic Life, CTCL. That's the Center for Tech and Civic Life, CTCL, a voter outreach organization founded by Taina Epps Johnson, Whitney May, and Donnie Bridges. All three had previously worked in activism relating to election rules for the new organization Institute, once described by the Washington Post as the Democratic Party Hogwarts for digital wizardry. Oh yeah, this is all fact, folks. This is not all facts, documented facts. Flush with $350 million in Zuckerbucks, the CTCL proceeded to disperse large grants to election officials and local governments across the country. These disbursements were billed publicly as COVID-19 response grants. Oh yeah, but in disguise, it was for election rigging. ostensibly to help the municipalities acquire protective gear for poll workers or otherwise help protective election officials with volunteers against the virus. In practice, relatively little money was spent for any of the COVID-19 protective gear. Instead, the practice was to provide a cover, you know, this COVID cover. According to the Foundation for Government Accountability, FGA, Georgia received more than $31 million in Zuckerbucks, one of the highest amounts in the country. The three Georgia counties that received the most money spent only 1.3% of it on personal protective equipment. So just less than 2% of the money was spent on protective equipment. The rest was spent on salaries, laptops, vehicle rentals, attorney fees for public records requests, mail-in balloting, and other measures, printing, you know, like printing extra ballots, that allowed election offices to hire activists to work the election. Not all Georgia counties received the CTCL funding, and of those that did, Trump voter counties received an average of 1.9 per registered voter compared to 7.13 per registered voter in Biden voting counties. The FGA looked at this funding another way. The FGA, remind you, is the government, the Foundation for Government Accountability Office. So the FGA looked at this, and this funding, and Trump won Georgia by more than 5 points in 2016, but he lost it by 3/10 of a point in 2020. On average, as a share of the two-party vote, most counties moved Democrat by less than 1 percentage point at a time. Counties that didn't receive Zuckerbucks showed hardly any movement, but counties that moved an average of 2.3 percentage points were Democratic. In the counties that did not receive Zuckerbucks, roughly half saw an increase in Democratic votes that offset the increase in Republican votes, while roughly half saw the opposite trend. In counties that did receive Zuckerbucks, by contrast, three-quarters saw a significant uptick in Democratic votes that offset any upward change in Republican votes. I'm talking not only president, but all the other Republican votes, including highly populated Fulton, Gwinnett, Cobb, and DeKalb counties. All of the 220 battleground states, it was probably in Wisconsin where the most had been brought to light about how Zuckerbucks worked. CTCL distributed $6.3 million to Wisconsin cities of Rancic, Grand Bay, Madison, Milwaukee, and Kenosha, purportedly to ensure that voting could take place in accordance with the prevailing anti-COVID public health requirements. Wisconsin law says voting is a right, but that voting by absentee ballot must be carefully regulated to prevent the potential for fraud or abuse, to prevent overzealous solicitation of absentee electors who may prefer not to participate in the election. So, the Wisconsin law also says that elections are to be run by clerks or other government officials. By the five cities that receive Zuckerbucks outsource much of their election operation to private liberal groups, in one case so extensively that a sidelined government official quit in frustration. He couldn't believe the fraud. This was all by design. Cities that received grants were not allowed to use the money to fund outside help unless the CTCL specifically approved their plans in writing. CTCL kept tight control of how money was spent, and it had an abundance of partners to help with anything the cities needed. Some governments officials were willing to do whatever the CTCL recommended. As far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm concerned, I'm taking all of my cues from CTCL and work with those you recommend. Celestine Jeffries, a chief of staff at the Democratic Green Bay Mayor Eric Greenwich, wrote in an email to CTCL, not only had plenty of recommendations, but made available a network of current and former election admissions administrators and election experts to scale up your, quote, vote by mailing processes, end quote, and ensure forms and envelopes and other materials are understood and completed correctly by voters. Power the Polls, a liberal group, recruited poll workers promising to help with ballot curing. The liberal Milwaukee Challenge worked to recruit high school age poll workers, and the left-wing Brennan Center offered help with election integrity, including post-election audits and cybersecurity. Oh, what could go wrong? The Center for Civic Design and Election Administration Policy Organization that frequently partners with groups such as liberal billionaire Pierre Omidyar, Democrat Fund, design absentee ballots and voting instructions, often work directly with the Election Commission to design envelopes and create advertising and targeting campaigns. The election group also linked to Democratic Fund, provided technical assistance in helping drop boxes and conducted voter outreach. The communications director for Center for Secure and Modern Elections, an organization that advocates sweeping changes in the elections process, ran a conference call to help Green Bay develop Spanish language radio ads and geofencing to target voters into the predefined area. Digital Response, a nonprofit launched in 2020, offered to bring voters to updated elections website, run a website health check, set up communication channels, bring poll worker application and management online, track and respond to polling location and wait times, set up voter support and email response tools, bring vote by mail applications online, process incoming vote by mail applications, and help with ballot curing process, tooling, and voter notification. Whoa, what could go wrong? Well, then we have the National Vote at Home Institute was presented as a technical assistance partner that could support outreach around the absentee voting, provide and oversee voting machines, consult on methods to cure absentee ballots, and even ensure the duty of curing ballots. They would count them a few weeks after the five Wisconsin cities received their grants. CTCL emailed Claire Waddell Vogue, the executive director of the Milwaukee Election Commission, to offer an experienced election staffer that could potentially embed with your staff in Milwaukee in a matter of days. The staffer leading Wisconsin's portion of the National Vote at Home Institute was an out-of-state Democratic activist named Michael Spritzer Rubenstein. As soon as he met with Waddell Vogue, he asked for the contacts in other cities and at the Wisconsin Elections Commission. You wouldn't believe all they done. I'm just telling you what they did. Then the Spencer Rubenstein would eventually take over much of the Green Bay's election planning, from the official charge with running elections, the Green Bay clerk Chris Test. Teske. This made Teske so unhappy, she took family and medical leave prior to the election and quit shortly thereafter. Because basically, they're telling her what to do. If they didn't do it, they just gave her a hard time. She just walked away. Emails from Spitz Rubenstein showed the extent to which he was managing and harassing during this election process. To one government official, he wrote, "By Monday, I'll have our edits on the absentee voting instructions. We're pushing QuickBase to get their system up and running, and I'll keep you updated. I'll revise the planning tool to accurately reflect the process. I'll create a flowchart for the vote-by-mail processing that we'll be able to share with both inspectors and also observers." Once early voting started, Wendell Vogue would provide Spitzer Rubenstein with daily updates on the numbers of absentee ballots returned and still outstanding in each ward, and prized information for the political operative. Amazingly, Spitzer Rubenstein even asked for direct access to the Milwaukee Election Commissioner's voter database. Whoa, what could be wrong with that? Quote, "What you or someone else in your team be able to do a screen share so we can see the process for an expert," he wrote. Quote, "Do you know if WestVote is an application program and interfacing or anything similar to that could connect with the software apps? That would be very helpful. That would be our holy grail." Even for Waldo Vogue, this was just too much. You know, nobody does. This is fraud, okay? But it's proven. It's all documented. Then they quoted again, "While I completely understand and appreciate the assistance that's trying to be provided," she replied, "I'm definitely not comfortable having a non-staff member involved in the function of our voter database, much less recording it." With these emails were released, when these emails were released in 2020, they stunned Wisconsin observers. Quote, "What exactly was the National Vote and the Home Institute doing with this daily reports? Was it making sure that people were actually voting from home by going door to door and collecting ballots for voters who had not yet turned in theirs, or what? Was this data sharing a condition of the CTCL grant? And who was really running Milwaukee's election?" asked Don O'Donnell, whose election analysis appeared at Wisconsin's conservative McEver Institute. He showed all the emails and all the statistics there. Chris Tiske, the sideline Green Bay city clerk, in whose office Wisconsin law actually places the responsibility to conduct elections, had, of course, seen what was happening early on. Quote, "I just don't know where the clerk's office fits into this anymore," she wrote earlier in July. By August, she was worried about the legal exposure. Quote, "I don't understand how people who don't have knowledge of the process can tell us how to manage our elections in our state when they're not even from our state," she wrote in August 28th. Green Bay Mayor Eric Greenwich simply handed over Tiskett's authority to agents from outside groups and gave them leadership roles in collecting absentee ballots, fixing ballots, and that would otherwise be voided by failure, you know, to be following the law and even supervising the counting of ballots. Quote, "The grant mentors would like to meet with to discuss further the ballot curing process. Please let them know we're available," Greenwich chief of staff told Tiskett. But then Spencer Robinstein explained that the National Vote at Home Institute had done the same for other states in other cities in Wisconsin. We have a process map, and we're working out with Milwaukee and for their other processes, and we can also adapt the letter we're sending out with rejected absentee ballots along with the call script alerting voters. We can also get people to make calls too, so you don't need to worry about all that. Other emails showed Spencer Rubenstein had the keys to the central counting facility and access to all the machines before election night. Oh, what could go wrong there? His name was on contracts with the hotel hosting the ballot counting. Sandy Juno, who was a clerk in Brown County, where Green Bay is located, later testified about the problems in legislative hearing and was advising them on things. He was touching all the ballots. He had access to see how the votes were counted, she said. And others testified that he was given orders to poll workers that seemed to be the person running the election count operation all the way through the election. I would really like to think that we had to talk about security of the elections. We're talking about more than just security of the internet, Juno said. You know, it's to be security of the physical location where you're not giving a third party keys to where you have the election, or the election equipment. But not only was he had the keys, but this is also going out on the internet. So Juno noted. So the plan by Democratic strategists to bring activist groups into election offices worked in part because no legislature had ever imagined that nonprofit could take over so many election offices so easy. If it can happen in Green Bay, Wisconsin, sweet little Green Bay, Wisconsin, these people can coordinate it in any place, said Jane Bartherall, a state representative of Wisconsin. And she's right. What happened in Green Bay happened in Democratic-run cities, countless in counties all across the country, especially in the swing states, just like it did in Wisconsin. 400 million Zuckerbucks were distributed with strings attached. Officials were required to work with partner organizations to massively expand mail-in voting and staff their election operatives and partisan activists. Their plan was genius, and it worked. And because no one ever imagined that the election system could be privatized in this way, there were no laws to prevent it. Such laws now should be a priority. Let's do everything we can to publicize the steal. That way, we have a chance to prevent it from happening again. But folks, many people, you know, they're saying it could happen again. And I'm just telling you, I just can't believe how people don't get it. And now, see, they know that they need more voters. So what's been happening is Biden's been flying them in. He's letting them through the border. Those are all Democrat voters. If you can't get enough votes in the country, well, you have to import votes from other countries, you know, like Pier 1 imports. This is Biden import. And when he's flying them in, he's flying them in to swing state cities, okay? So when they take buses from the border, when they're coming in the border and they get bus rides, all of it's for free, folks. They can stay. They get debit cards. They get bus rides. They get planes, plane tickets, all for free. All they got to do is show up and say, I want to vote for Biden, and they'll go. They don't need any ID. So they don't need any ID, and they go to the swing states. So that's how they're going to rig the election. And it's not hard to see, and a lot of people know that they now in these left cities, they're urging the mayors and the governors like Governor Whitmer in Michigan, she's urging their citizens to house illegal aliens in their homes, that they need a place to stay. You need to open up your home. You can have a new cook real easy. Just boom, open up your home. And, you know, and so they're, and all these Democrats across the states that are getting told this by left-wing mayors and left-wing governors, they're opening up their homes to these, and there's been blowback. You know, there's been problems, you know, but all the media won't report that. There's been problems, and you know, with people letting illegal aliens in their home. However, that's how they're going to steal it. And a lot of people just don't believe that this could really be done. And it happened in 2020. And what I read for you, I apologize for having a whole first of the half of the show about the election steal, but all that is documented. It's all documented. It's all been before the court of law of laws, not only in Wisconsin and Georgia and Pennsylvania, everything. So we have all the proof that 2020 was stolen. Now, many people are going to say that Dr. Johnny is an election denier, just like many people call me a vaccine denier because I never did promote the vaccines. Well, I guess I am a vaccine denier. I guess I am. But when it comes to illegal election that was stolen, then I know that that's exactly why. Let me tell you a little story. In El Salvador, both Honduras and El Salvador, mainly El Salvador. See, there's a law in El Salvador that once an official, like the president of El Salvador, is elected, and later on you can show that it was fraudulent, there's no way that that official can step down because there's a law saying once he's elected, that's it. Doesn't matter whether it's illegal or not. So they had, election rigging in El Salvador. And so the media is reporting, they said they call their president the machine-elected president, just like they're doing in Honduras. They're not saying that the people elected, they call it their president the machine-elected president. So they're telling you right out in the open to the whole public that the machines were rigged and they elected the president that, you know, the elites wanted. So that's the lowball on the whole thing. And I'm telling you, I hope that people catch on to this because they're doing anything they can to steal this election one more time. But just think, we got a whole, 50 more gender, sensitive and inclusive holidays coming up that are official holidays for this year, the coming year, and Easter is transgender.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why the story behind the story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Already on the books and ready to go. And when I come back from the break that I thought would be by now, I think it is, I'm going to go into calcium. So I guess, did they have the break? I don't hear the music.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind? If you're interested in hearing a latest information about UFOs, the paranormal, ancient cultures and structures, monotone McElement, longevity, fantastic discoveries in science, download it to your brain, then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I wanted to make sure that people are aware, because a lot of my patients have a problem with calcium dominance, and many people get tired of hearing me about calcium dominance. But some of this came from even ancient Greece.
Check in every Thursday night for the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show.
And I'm going to go into detail about calcium dominance here.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
And let my
the secret kindergarten is here for the young children of the world.
Of great
the
importance
best program
to the
on the radio
of
for
modern
kids,
health science
dealing
today,
with the most important
most
topics
naturalistic
in the whole
universe of the ancient
fairy
Greek
tales,
medicine.
Music, and
Plato's pupil,
numbers,
Aristotle,
clubs, animals,
doctor's son,
fun,
also
colors,
forth,
insects,
hugely
take
influential.
Care. Cast
views
your ears out
on the Constitution
to catch
of Life and Health.
From the world of other young
questioning
things.
Plato's
reach
metaphysical
out.
Ideas, Aristotle called for the systematic
over.
Observation of
sing
nature.
A song.
His
talk
discussions
about
of physiology
just remember the magic
long
word.
Intrigued doctors
magic word
and philosophers
no.
alike.
Step
and
on
2,000 years later,
Saturday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern
the
Time,
physical,
right
physical
here
physiology
on Revolution
of
Radio.
William Harvey. Thus, health promotion and education, placing an emphasis on correct diet and physical exercise, were early accomplishments of the ancient Greeks. This is
modern
also
history,
a great value that health
real
education
law.
Based on holistic perception
you enjoy interviews
of
with
health
amazing guests.
Was closely related to
enjoy
the physical and social environment,
6 p.m.
especially you know, establishing
right
this way,
the,
in this way, was the foundation
Studio
for health promotion in the modern era.
Crypt Rick,
this is the foundation of the Master Survivor Program.
Welcome to the Crypt.
For over 40 years, Dr. Johnny, the Master Survivor,
the opinions expressed
has been
on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now
from
we return
this HTMA,
to
if you get your hair analysis. It's going to show you some very revealing things. In the past 15 years, I've seen 8 out of 10 people have moved toward calcium dominance or hypercalciemia in their bodies. The role calcium plays is crucial in every cell throughout the body. However, over the 90% of calcium is stored in the bones and teeth. That's where it should be. That's where it's stored. The osseous tissues, like the bones and teeth of the body, serve not only as a structural support, but also as a reservoir for calcium and other minerals. These minerals can be drawn upon by the body as needed, and calcium is distributed in other tissues as follows. The brain, approximately 4 to 5 milligrams per 100 grams. The heart, 7 to 8 milligrams. And the kidney, 19 milligrams. The liver, 7 milligrams. And the muscles, 7 to 8 milligrams. The skin and spleen, 9 to 10 milligrams. And the RDA for calcium are, for infants, 350 to 540 milligrams per day. And adults, 1,000 milligrams per day, and lactating women, 1,200 milligrams per day. Calcium functions are many. In conjunction with many other elements, calcium is the major constituent of the skeletal structures and the teeth. These osseous tissues provide a reservoir for calcium, which can be withdrawn as required in order to maintain extraskeletal functions such as acid-alkaline balance. the importance of calcium as a potential biological messenger was observed by Ringer in 1883. Shortly afterwards, it was determined that calcium is essential for cardiac muscle contractivity. It is now known that calcium is involved as a messenger, carrying signals to target activities within the cells through specific calcium channels. Calcium ions are essential for activation of enzymes required for normal blood clotting, glycocholic enzyme activation and stability, and influencing cell division and differentiation. Calcium is also involved in secretory processes. Insulin release, for example, is dependent upon adequate calcium being available. I'll repeat that. Insulin release, for example, is dependent on adequate calcium being available in the bloodstream. Calcium can stimulate insulin release as well, and calcium is regulated in the tissues and serum at the expense of skeletal structures. So it draws from the skeleton and, you know, and skeletal structures and puts it in the blood to get that calcium out into the bloodstream. Parathyroid hormone, PTH, or calcitonin, and vitamin D are major hormones involved in calcium homeostasis. Their influence on calcium regulation is through their effects upon the kidneys, bone reabsorption, and intestinal reabsorption. Other hormones also affect calcium positively or negatively. Insulin, for example, has a positive influence on calcium retention. Insulin therapy reduces the urine loss of calcium. Estrogen and prolactin also decrease urinary excretion due to their stimulation of active vitamin D metabolites. Increased calcium excretion can be caused by overactivity and, estrogen and prolactin also decrease urinary excretion due to their stimulation of active vitamin D metabolites. Increased calcium excretion can be caused by overactivity of both the thyroid and adrenal cortical glands. Adrenal corticosteroids reduce the intestinal calcium absorption due to their anti-vitamin D effects. Excess aldosterone release also increases urinary calcium excretion. Therefore, many medications interfere with calcium absorption. Some of the most common include anticoagulants such as phenobarbital and diphenhydramine, which are known to contribute to osteomalacia. And acids containing aluminum hydroxide bind calcium in the intestine and have been documented to contribute to osteomalacia. Cortisone therapy substantially increases the excretion of calcium. Diuretics, except for thiazides, contribute to calcium loss. Foods containing oxalic acid or folic acid bind with calcium, preventing intestinal absorption. High protein intake can, and in some cases, lead to a decrease in calcium absorption or increased urinary excretion. So malabsorption syndromes that result in increased transient time and diarrhea impair calcium absorption. This can be caused by gastrointestinal surgeries such as bypass or subtotal gastrectomy, renal failure, nephric syndrome, or poorly controlled diabetes. Meningitis and juvenile diabetes are conditions associated with poor calcium status. Hypocalcium or low calcium levels in the body is a relatively rare clinical problem. The nervous system is particularly sensitive to the effects of low serum calcium. why the ionic form of calcium falls below the 40 milligrams percent, or the total serum calcium falls below the 7 milligrams percentage, the nervous system can become hyper-irritable. So hypercalcemia or low calcium can eventually lead to sensory disturbances, tachypnea, myocardial dysfunction, and plain irritability. The major manifestation of low serum calcium is tachypnea, and that which usually consists of muscular cramps, lateral stridor, seizures, and if severe, death due to respiratory failure. Causes of true hypocalcemia include chronic renal failure, malabsorption, and hypoparathyroidism. So hyperalbuminuria is not always associated with depressed ionized calcium, and therefore may not give rise to the tachypnea, even a hypercalcemia. A positive Chebyshev sign is also usually the indication of hypocalcemia. However, hypocalcemia does not always give rise to a positive Chebyshev sign. This has been reported to be absent in 73% of patients with hypocalcemia. Calcium deficiency has been associated with conditions that are not necessarily related to hypercalcemia, and those include allergies, histamine, which is unusual because histamine levels usually are associated with hypercalcium or high calcium, but these lower calcium levels also have been associated with adrenal hyperactivity and hypertension, anxiety, and insomnia type 1, and osteomalacia symptomatic dominance RH, or the arthritis osteoporosis, can also be associated with calcium deficiency. So it works both ways. If you got too much calcium, you can get arthritis, and if you got too little calcium, you can also get another type of arthritis. So hypercalcemia is an elevation. That's a high calcium elevation of serum calcium levels above 10.5%. And this is what Dr. Johnny calls calcium dominance. And it's most of my patients today, primarily hyperparathyroidism and malignancies are major causes of hypercalcemia. Acute immobilization and hypervitaminosis of vitamin D, or increased tissue sensitivity to vitamin D, or Prader's disease, are also associated with elevated serum calcium. Other causes of high serum calcium include Addison's disease, or adrenal burnout, and metonymia, or thyrotoxicosis, or milk alkali syndrome, and the use of thyroxine diuretics. So conditions associated with hypercalcemia, that's high calcium, due to hyperthyroidism include excessive thirst, dryness of mouth, throat dysphagia, muscle aches or cramps, and recent memory loss or calcified tendons or hearing difficulties, fatigue, joint stiffness, weakness, restless leg syndrome, constipation, dyspepsia, and conjunctivitis, and hyperparathyroidism can contribute to a number of symptoms associated with gastrointestinal and in urinary tracts. A classical and appropriate history of hyperparathyroidism has been described as being as consisting moans, groans, and stones, like kidney stones. Some investigators have indicated that specific muscle groups are found weak in patients with primary hyperparathyroidism. These include gluteus, medius, hamstrings, deltoids, and biceps. There are many factors contributing to calcium deficiency that adversely affect calcium status and can lead to negative calcium balance. Excuse me. Without associated abnormalities in serum calcium. On the hair tissue mineral analysis, we show the minerals that are antagonistic to calcium. Excessive intake of any one or combination of these minerals can contribute to poor calcium status. The calcium is also considered antagonistic to many of these elements. Calcium can be helpful in reducing the absorption and adverse effects of heavy metals such as lead and cadmium, and excess tissue iron absorption and storage. Sodium has been long recognized as contributing to hypertension. Some societies, however, consume large amounts of sodium, yet have a low incidence of hypertension, while others consume little dietary sodium and suffer from hypertension as well. And U.S. studies have shown that distinguishing difference in the consumption of calcium amongst hypertensive and non-tensive individuals. Hypertensive persons found to consume 18% less calcium than normal tensive persons. Of 17 nutrients analyzed, reduced calcium intake consistently distinguished the hypertensive from the non-normal tensive group. Calcium supplementation has been shown to lower blood pressure in individuals suffering from essential hypertension. The effect is attributed to the neutrolysis and effects of calcium. Of course, many of the nutritional minerals shown in the HTMA are also synergistic to calcium's metabolic and or structural functions. The mineral copper is also synergistic to copper due to its involvement in collagen production and protein cross-linking. This valuable laboratory report, the HTMA, also indicates the foods and vitamins that are considered antagonistic to calcium. Their antagonistic effects may be direct or indirect. For example, vitamin A antagonizes vitamin D and therefore can indirectly affect calcium. Vitamin A also has a stimulating effect upon the thyroid, which will affect calcium status as well. Some vitamins have a stimulatory effect upon metabolic rate. Increased sympathetic neuroendocrine activity can contribute to calcium loss. Many of these vitamins have a synergistic relationship to calcium, including vitamin D. Osteoporosis is on the rise, and it affects over 6 million people in the U.S. and has probably become the most widely recognized condition associated with calcium domination and some calcium supplementation. It's been associated with calcium deficiency, and therefore they purport to have calcium supplementation is generally accepted as a course of therapy. However, studies showing that calcium supplementation alone over extended periods have resulted in decreased calcium retention and has only minor beneficial effects. The causes of osteoporosis are numerous, not just calcium deficiency. It can be calcium dominance as well. As I've shown in HTMA reports, the hair tissue mineral analysis, a multiplicity of nutritional factors can contribute to the osteoporotic processes other than calcium deficiency. Calcium supplementation can even have a potential in contributing to osteoporosis in the presence of other mineral deficiencies such as magnesium, phosphorus, and copper. As an example, magnesium is deposited in the surface of the bone, and if a person's magnesium status is marginal, then calcium supplementation can further contribute to magnesium deficiency, and then magnesium deficiency will produce cortical thinning of the bone with resulting in fragility. When the neuroendocrine factors are included, we find that 30 different mechanisms can be involved in contributing to the osteoporosis. This may explain why the etiology of osteoporosis is so controversial. Because some people say, well, you're saying that in one way, you know, the decrease of calcium can cause osteoporosis. Then on the other hand, you're saying that, you know, calcium dominance, too much calcium, will create osteoporosis as well. But there are numerous factors that contribute to this hypercalcicura. So, since the majority of osteoporotic patients do not manifest hypercalcicura, urinary calcium excretion alone may not be a reliable indicator of osteoporosis. If increased urinary calcium excretion exists, it should be distinguished from absorptive or reabsorptive hypercalcicuria. The urinary hyperoxyproline to creatine ratio, that's hydroxyproline to creatine ratio, calcium to creatine ratio, and serum to hydroxyproline to creatine ratios can be good indicators of bone reabsorption. As stated previously, osteoporosis usually has multiple origins. However, in some cases, the resulting bone loss of calcium may be a non-specific secondary response to specific underlying metabolic problems. Parathyroid hormone aids in the physiological response of other hormones dependent upon calcium for their activity. Calcium affects a number of enzymes and mediates the action and release of several hormones. As an example, if increased amount of insulin is required by the body, parathyroid activity will increase, resulting in calcium reabsorption. This in turn will supply extra calcium for the release of insulin as well as other hormones, demonstrating the need for treating the patient instead of the symptom. If the patient is developing adult onset diabetes, then the treatment for his or her osteoporotic condition will not meet with much success until the diabetic condition is addressed. With vitamins and minerals, rarely does a single nutrient deficiency develop alone. Usually other deficiencies coexist. The same is true of endocrine disturbances. Overactivity or underactivity of a single endocrine gland rarely occurs. As an example, when the hyperactivity of the parathyroid gland develops, a concomitant low thyroid is usually found. Patients with hypothyroidism frequently have elevated parathyroid hormones. Increased thyroid activity apparently decreases parathyroid activity. Therefore, support of the thyroid gland is warranted in patients who develop osteoporosis with hyperparathyroid involvement. Also, osteoporosis is caused by hyperthyroidism, which usually accompanies increased adrenal activity and may improve with parathyroid support. So the hair tissue mineral analysis, the HTMA, is an excellent screening tool for the calcium status. To make sure you're getting the adequate calcium in your body, just go to themastersurvivor.com, scroll down and click on the Master Survivor program. And you'll see the mountain where it says Master Survivor Program, and scroll down to number one and get the hair tissue mineral analysis. The instructions are right there. You can pay for it with your credit card, or you can send Dr. Johnny a check for $226. The instructions are right there. I need a clump of hair. I need that check for $226, and I'll run your hair sample in the lab. I'll put it right in the queue. I'll run your analysis, and when it's ready, I will get it the report straight back to you, the HTMA, the hair tissue mineral analysis, straight back to you, and then we can have our free consultation, and I'll tell you what exactly is going on in your body, whether you're hyperparathyroid active or not, whether you're under, calcium deficient or not, whatever that may be. But let me just tell you, there are many factors, but the hair tissue mineral analysis tells all. I can tell you exactly what's going on, and I'll go over a report and show it right there to you in the hair tissue mineral analysis. So that website again is themastersurvivor.com, and just scroll down and click on the Master Survivor Program, and then you'll see the mountain where it says Master Survivor Program. Scroll down to number one, the HTMA, and you can order your HTMA right there. Send me a clump of hair and $226, and I'll get back to you what your exact chemistry is, and Dr. Johnny will be happy to devise a roadmap for your recovery with whatever's going on in your body. That's what I do and been doing for over 40 years. I've been helping my patients. Okay, so I want to get back to what's going on in the world, because I just want you to know right up front, folks, this show, I've been doing my show for over 25, almost 30 years now, in several different networks, and I love this network. The Revolution Radio is a wonderful network, and I hope you support them. However, my show used to only be about health. But when I started telling people not to get the flu shot, and blah, 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 then they started accusing me of being a vaccine denier and all this, and started criticizing me. Well, then I had to bring some politics and what was going on in the world. So I tried to make it half and half today. So I give you what's going on in the world and also about my program that I've been doing over 40 years. It seems fair enough, right? So right now I want to tell you, last week I talked about how all funding these green energy projects are such a waste of money. They're an extreme waste of money. And I told you on last week's show, funding green energy is putting money into a black hole. It's truly a money pit. So if you heard last week's show, you heard about how the wind farms are no good. If there's a freeze, those windmills aren't turning. Plus, they kill birds. And if you heard on last week's show, you heard me tell you about solar panels are even a bigger ripoff. Just this past week, it's actually now 2 weeks ago, they had a bad hailstorm in Texas that destroyed thousands of acres of solar farms. So they have these wind farms in Texas. They also have solar farms. Well, during that hailstorm last week, several solar farms got hit really bad, especially in Needville, Texas. That's Needville, Needville. They were destroyed in an area spanning more than 10,000 acres. Okay? There's hundreds of thousands of acres of these solar farms, but 10,000 acres got hit by hail and destroyed the solar cells. Nearby residents have expressed concerns about the environmental impact of the solar farms. Well, Fox 26 Houston spoke with local resident Nikki Kaminsky about the damage. Nick showed us emails he sent to Fort Bend County commissioners, the Fort Bend Economic Development Council, and the owners of the Fighting Jays Solar Farm, asking for environmental impact report. We asked for some studies, and we've been treated the same way. We're not getting anywhere. And, that's talking, Mike Falgu, who lives near the solar farms. We get nothing out of them because, most of their solar cells were destroyed. And he said, my concern is the hail damage that came through and busted those panels can now have some deadly, serious, toxic effects. These toxic chemicals could be potentially leaking into our water tables, Ken Kaminsky said. See, now that all the solar cells are busted, see, they're covered with glass. So those are all busted by the hail. And now with the broken glass and broken solar farms, as soon as it rains, it's going to leach and leak out into the soil all those toxins. He says, I have a family and two children and a wife, he said. My neighbors have two kids and a lot of other residents in the area who are on well water, and we're concerned about all the chemicals that are going to be leaking into our water tables. Over the years, many bloggers have chimed in and said the cadmium, lead, and phenovinyl fluoride leaching from those dead solar cells will make the land unsuitable for anything in at least for 100 years. They can't grow anything. They can't use anything. They're not going to have, cattle grazing there because that soil is going to be contaminated with cadmium, lead, and polyvinyl fluoride. So clean energy, my ass, says Flores. He says, Do you think the left has a green energy plan, to defeat our country? I'm telling you. So what's the left want to do with this new green energy deal and the Democrats are trying and pushing so hard? Make us spend more money in creating more bureaucracies on long-term these things like solar farms and solar panels, and to things that break down, kill birds, and then they'll get busted from hail, and it won't provide enough energy, and they operate at a loss, and yet they want us to, Biden has already made it a mandate to have electric vehicles. By 2027, he's phasing out all fossil fueled vehicles. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. It's a law now that all fossil fuel, all gas guzzling vehicles are phased out by 2027. So it gets more and more energy dependent on our grid. And yet we can't provide enough energy from these green energies, because they don't work, they're not profitable, and they break down, and they don't work anymore after a certain period of time. Even if all the solar cells work, after 20 to 22 years, they actually break down. They don't put out as much power because they're not made to be efficient, okay? And then the wind generators, they break down. So then he's phasing out fossil fuels. So if we can't make electricity with hydrogas, gas, which is a lot of our electricity comes from coal or gas, if he's phasing out fossil fuel, you can easily see how they're trying to destroy our country, Obama and Joe Biden, okay? But a lot of states are catching on, and, with all these chemtrails, they're trying to poison us too. But hopefully no more chemtrails for Tennessee. Dr. Johnny hopes that more states will follow. Legislators in the great state of Tennessee this week passed a bill seeking to ban the spraying of aerosol chemicals in the atmosphere, a government weather manipulation technique known as geoengineering. On Monday, March 21st, the state Senate passed SBS 691 HB 2063, which seeks to prohibit the intentional injection, release, or dispersal by any means of chemicals, chemical components, substances, or apparatus within the borders of the state of Tennessee into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, intensity of the sunlight, etc. March 21st, the Tennessee State Senate passed a bill banning the spraying of chemicals in their skies. Of 30 senators, 24 voted in favor and 6 against. Hopefully other states now will follow suit. This is not a conspiracy theory when they're actively banning it in law. For years, many have suspected that the government spraying of aerosol particulate matter into the atmosphere seen as lingering white cloud trails that don't dissipate not only manipulates the weather but also destroys the Earth's ecosystem. And Dr. Johnny's here to tell you that high levels of barium, strontium, and aluminum show up in the hair tissue mineral analysis of a patient of his patients that have high chemtrail activity. And Dr. Johnny's termed the barium, strontium, and aluminum and titanium as the chemtrail signature in their hair tissue mineral analysis. So it shows up. And they said, but Dr. Johnny, I can't do anything about what I breathe. I said, that's okay. You just get on the diet and supplement schedule, the HTMA, and your cells are going to be dumping it out faster than your body's taking them in. So don't worry if they spray more chemtrails. We're going to get it out of your body faster than it's coming in if you follow the diet and supplement schedule. I've proven it over and over and over again. And that's true. It does get it out faster. Once they get to a point where they get enough of the heavy metals out, sometimes it takes a year or so. With some people, they have more than others. But once they get those heavy metals out, then the barium, strontium, aluminum, and titanium will go out faster than they're coming in, even if you're bombarded by chemtrails all day long. Don't worry about it. It's going to go out faster than it's coming into your body if you're on the HTMA diet and supplement schedule. That is a promise to you, and I've proven it in the lab and written articles, put it out to peer-reviewed journals, proven just that. The bill comes as top geologists recently accused the United Nations of engaging in a conspiracy to destroy the Earth's environment. In their paper published in the Advances in Social Sciences Research Journal, September 2022, James Marvin Harnden and Mark Whiteside warned humanity, quote, time is short. Humanity's time is short, and to permanently end all geoengineering activities soon, end quote. Specifically, aerosol coal fly ash, which they say they're spraying out of the jets. So even regular jets spray coal aerosol coal fly ash, and into the troposphere, where it's systematically breaking down the Earth's support systems and poisoning life on this planet. This was in their study. This is not a conspiracy theory. These are the geoengineering experts that did a report to the Advances in Social Sciences Research Journal, and that journal printed their article. The U.S. federal government has also tactically admitted that it engages in the practice referred to as stratospheric aerosol injection, SAI, with former CIA Director John Brennan, boy, he's a beauty, describing it as a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that can help reflect the sun's heat in much the same way that volcanic eruptions do. Well, why do we want to reflect the sun's heat? I think we need the sun, but there's this whole global warming thing. See, this is... So the SIA program could limit government temperature increases and reduces risk associated with higher temperatures and providing the world economy additional time to transition from fossil fuels. Right there. This process is relatively inexpensive. So right there, they want to phase out fossil fuels altogether. So how are we going to provide electricity if it's provided by this whole green energy with wind farms and solar cells that don't last long, they're not profitable, and are losing money, and they break down? And he wants everybody to go electric cars. But Brennan told that during a Council on Foreign Relations conference. And so, according to Nashville, Tennessean, the SB 2691 HB 2063 bill has yet to advance in the Senate. It's in the Senate now, and they're saying it's going to pass. So, folks, let me just tell you, let me get you some more gory details about what the deep state's trying to do to us to kill us all. You know, they wanted 90% of the population eliminated. Don't think that goal's gone away. You know, deadliest virus spreading. Bill Gates has released gene editing mosquitoes. This is a big project that he's done. A massive outbreak of deadly Dengue fever is taking place in Brazil right now. He's gone all around the world and released his mosquitoes. He's released them in Africa. He's released them in South America. He's released them in India. But now they won't let him in India anymore, because if he goes back to India, they will take him to court because of what he did with the vaccine poisoning that killed so many people. But this Dengue fever, this tropical disease, which is spread by mosquitoes, has infected and killed more people in the first 5 weeks of 2024 than all of 2023. The first 5 weeks. Because he just releases mosquitoes. See, well, you know, mosquitoes are breed, and they're genetically modified, and they'll carry this Dengue fever. A few months ago, Brazil released billions of genetically edited mosquitoes that were provided by Bill Gates in hopes of reducing the frequency of Dengue fever. Well, guess what? Dengue fever came back like in a bam. Like I said, in the first 5 weeks of 2024, more than all of 2023 in the first 5 weeks of this year of Dengue fever has come back. Instead of reducing the deadly disease, the exact opposite happened. They're trying to kill you. Dengue fever is spread from person to person by mosquito bites. Mosquitoes carry the Dengue virus. In most people, it causes headaches, fever, joint pain, and nasty red rash all over the body. Oh, this is a beautiful thing. I'm being facetious, by the way. I'm being sarcastic. It's a horrible thing. If it develops into more severe Dengue, however, that's D-E-N-G-U-E, Dengue, however, it causes bleeding, blood plasma, leakage, dangerously low plasma, and often death. Brazil had approximately 91,000 cases of Dengue fever in 2023, but here comes Bill Gates to the rescue, and this his mosquitoes are the main ones that carry the Dengue virus. We also know that there is a bacteria called Wolbachia that mosquitoes can catch. If a mosquito has the Wolbachia virus, it prevents the transmission of Dengue fever to humans using the super smart science brain. Bill Gates decided that he would genetically modify billions of mosquitoes that already have the Wolbachian bacteria in them and then release those mosquitoes in Brazil so they can still unleash this Dengue fever. What a great idea, because tampering with nature never has unintended consequences. Bill Gates went into the super smart science laboratory and started cranking out billions of mosquitoes with the Wolbachia bacteria woven into their genes, and then they transported those mosquitoes into five of the most populous areas of Brazil and released them back in August. Problem solved, no more Dengue fever, hurrah for science, except in the first 5 weeks of 2024, Brazil now has had 364,855 cases of dengue fever in the first 5 weeks. That includes 40 confirmed deaths, another 265 suspected deaths. Last year, dengue fever spread in the city of Brasilia at a rate of 170 cases per 100,000 inhabitants. So far this year, it's spreading at a rate of 1,600 cases per 100,000, which is like 100 times faster when you go from 170 cases per 100,000 inhabitants to 1,625 cases per 1,000. That's spreading 100 times faster after having just 91,000 cases of dengue fever in 2024. Brazil now has on pace of 3.6 million cases per year at this rate. Gee, what could have caused that? Oh my gosh, we got a pandemic. Oh my gosh, of dengue fever. Well, let's come up with a scientific hypothesis. Oh, well, we need to come up with a solution with having a mosquito catch the Wolbachia bacteria versus weaving a Wolbachia into the mosquito's DNA. Suppose that genetically modified with mosquito with Wolbachia woven into his system breeds with non-Wolbachia mosquitoes, and that's possible that the offspring will be immune to the effects of Wolbachia. Well, if that happens, the Wolbachia bacteria will no longer prevent any future generations of mosquitoes from spreading dengue fever, which is exactly what happened. That now the Wolbachia bacteria that would make the dengue fever inert is now got Wolbachia inert mosquitoes that make the dengue fever be available to everybody they bite. Oh, what do we know? Well, we don't have a super smart science brain like Bill Gates to come up with another batch of solutions. Well, we just have a new batch of disinformation spreaders on the internet like Dr. Johnny with all these conspiracy theories. But now that Brazil is suffering through a catastrophic outbreak of dengue fever for some unknown reason, Bill Gates has gone back to the drawing board. Congratulations, Brazil. Bill Gates can save you again. Just by the weirdest possible coincidence, just so happens that Bill Gates, an investor in the giant Japanese pharmaceutical company called Tanakda, is so lucky. You're so lucky. We now have an idea with a new vaccine. Tanakda just so happens to make this vaccine, what, for the dengue fever? Tanakda, thanks to Bill Gates' investment funding, has developed a vaccine called Quindigna for dengue fever. Quindigna is a vaccine that protects you from catching dengue fever. Oh, yeah. Whew, boy, now another crisis averted, we'll avoid another pandemic. Now we got the Quindigna vaccine. Brazil has purchased 5.2 million doses of Quindigna and is already administering them at the highest risk people, which are babies and pregnant women, because, you know, they're led by Lula, the lefty government, cause so he's got everybody being vaccinated. Got to get it. We got this pandemic and this dengue fever. Oh, my God. You got to get the Quindigna vaccine. Everyone had better line up quickly so Bill Gates can save them from dengue fever. We just can't believe how lucky Brazil is to have Bill Gates around to protect them, can we? But what do they do about him? Well, go back to your earlier question. How could this dengue fever outbreak take place just 6 months after Bill Gates released billions of genetically modified mosquitoes into Brazil? What could go wrong? Thankfully, Reuters has debunked our hypothesis that I've presented to you today with real answers of why Brazil is suddenly experiencing an unprecedented outbreak of deadly Dengue fever. It's because of global warming. There's been more mosquitoes. Oh, that's what Reuters says. Well, it's global warming and more, you know what that does? It brings more mosquitoes breed. Thanks, Reuters. Sounds like you nailed it right on the head. Okay, folks, I'm just telling you, I've often said on my show that, you know, at Dr. Johnny's Command Center, I keep a vigilant watch over the world, our country, and the solar system. Well, most recent attention has been placed on the UFO phenomena as possible national security threat by the public officials and prominent scientists. This is the latest squawk box out of Washington. Now, this attention has led to the U.S. Congress and other national legislators investigating the possibility that extraterrestrials are visiting the Earth in advanced spacecraft, some of which have been covertly retrieved after crashing and being secretly reverse engineered. But given the recent surge of scientific interest in off-world alien visitors due to the discovery of distant exoplanets, it's easy to forget that these are numerous historical reports of intelligent non-human entities emerging from Earth's vast oceans, subterraneous regions, and advanced flying technologies. Not all non-human UFOs come from distant exoplanets. So this is another thing they're putting out, that some are from earthly origins. Well, okay, so let me go into detail about that. These cryptoterrestrials receive very little attention from public official and scientists these days because they primarily appear in ancient myths and legends and strange encounter stories by individual witnesses of the mysterious ant people, which are talked about in Indian legends, or the aquatic apes, you know, like mermaids, okay, or reptilian people, or the Mothman, you know, those urban legends about the Mothman, or the bird people, you know, Sasquatch and, you know, Bigfoot and the Yeti, you know, these are all what they call cryptoterrestrials. Yet these cryptoterrestrials, according to historic reports, have played crucial roles in helping humanity develop advanced technologies in historic dark ages, helping surface humans build prosperous civilizations and dealing with destructive earth changes. They've been helping us all along the way for thousands, if not millions of years, have helped man. And yet the scientific community will not, you know, provide that evidence or recognize that evidence, like giants that have been dug up. Okay, so a common thread found investigating legends of ancient non-human civilizations hidden beneath human Earth's surface, for example, you know, inner Earth, is that these often been described as giving surface humanity wisdom, technology in times of significant planetary change. This is so true. I'm here just to tell you this is precisely the right time when we would expect such cryptotechnological, you know, terrestrial beings to emerge as our planet is teetering on the edge of great changes due to a myriad of global problems. So true. And many have been approached by some of these cryptoterrestrials and been given visions of, you know, a greater future, for example. And I'm just telling you, you know, where are these cryptoterrestrials? Well, they're intelligent, for one thing, and they're not going to be caught. You know, Bigfoot, he's the most elusive creature around, but yet in the state of Washington, they got laws that if you shoot a Bigfoot, you'll get 10 years of jail time. And if you harm a Bigfoot, you will be fined like $20,000 or $100,000, $25,000 or something. So the state of Washington didn't take it as a bunch of hearsay. They really believe in the Yeti, the Bigfoot, you know, whatever you want to call this hairy beast. But they're very intelligent, and they've interacted with Native Americans. And they're definitely here to help us. But, of course, the mainstream media are not reporting about them and definitely not saying they're our friends. They're not saying they exist. They just say, oh, those are just urban legends, you know. But they're definitely here. And, of course, all you have to talk – just go and talk to the Hopi Indians. Go talk to the Navajo Indians. Go talk to the Seminole Indians. I mean, I'm not talking about their – I'm talking about their elders, okay? Talk to the elders about inner earth people, about the ant people. Talk to the Seminoles about the ant people. They don't have two horns. They have two little antenna. They kind of like have little wavery antenna. They're ant people. They're humanoid. They're very intelligent. They've got advanced technology, but their face looks like an ant, and they got spindly little body, you know, insectoid bodies. They're ant people. Just ask the Hopi Indians. Ask the Seminoles. The elders, they will tell you about such people. Look at the petroglyphs on the rocks. They will show you about the ant people. So all you have to do is talk to the Hopi or Seminole elders or the Cherokee elders, their grandparents, or some special forces. And, you know, some of the special forces might tell you, like they've talked to Dr. Johnny. Publicity, you know, publicly, there have been multiple eyewitness reports that these crypto-terrestrials and how they're quietly interacting with individuals and military forces help surface humanity prepare for the coming changes of our planet. And believe you me, all the terrestrial, crypto-terrestrials are on the White Hat team, 100%. I promise you, they're on the White Hat team. Yes, there's different crypto-terrestrial civilizations, and they've been secretly interacting with humanity for millennia, and they're doing so today to help us prepare for the global changes that lie ahead, and some of those may be questionable, but they're now under this alliance with the White Hat team. And this alliance, they're all working together to help our planet. So a great day is coming, folks. I'm here to tell you, stick with Dr. Johnny right here on The Master Survivor Beyond PhD every Sunday at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time p.m. And I will go over whether it's our country, whether it's our world, or the solar system, or inside our world, I will bring you the latest of the news you can use. Have a good week, everybody. And this is Dr. Johnny, over and out. So I should be coming up on the break. Watching the clock, so I don't miss it this time. So I apologize to the board ops for missing the first break. I won't try not to let that happen again. I know that was a boo-boo. But again, that's my apologies. So far, if I'm heading on the record that I'm holding, I might get 50 Sundays this year of broadcasting, and that's a record for me. So have a good week, everybody. And,
be they government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human being. Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Red, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming!
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Friday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers.